Are you that one friend in the friend group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. You can be the one to refuse making coffee at home because there's a fancy coffee shop downstairs. Or opting for the extra legroom, I've done it, on the plane because your vacation is starting now, not later. Or buying extra when that certain something's on sale because it's saving money. Well, if you're treating yourself to the top options in everything in life, then why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health, after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. So don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you with ZocDoc. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and a website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All the docs have verified reviews from actual real patients. You can filter it for those that take your insurance, those that are located near you, or treat specific conditions you're looking for. I found it incredibly easy to use, and you will too. Go to ZocDoc.com/beyond and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/beyond. ZocDoc.com/beyond. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to share with you a conversation I had with Chris Byers. He is the CEO of Formstack, an online form and data collection platform and previous sponsor of this show. He has helped Formstack grow from 7 people to 200 people in the past 10 years. But not only that, they have pioneered remote culture and become a remote first culture previous to the pandemic. So I thought it made sense to talk to him not only about leading that culture, establishing that culture, but then how this pandemic has affected that culture, where they see things going in the future, as well as setting goals and OKRs, which stands for objectives and key results, which is another way of goal making for quarterly goals and annual goals for business. So even though most of us have been working remotely this year, this past year, and even probably before that, there's a lot of value in this conversation about rethinking remote work and hitting the reset button on it. As I know, even I personally, since I've been remote working since 2014, so about 7 years now, I would have to say that personally, every few months, every, 2 to 3 seasons or quarters, I have to make tweaks to make it work again and relearn things. So in 7 years, you can imagine how many different things I've had to learn or relearn or unlearn bad habit wise. So this is a great conversation for remote work focused in on that. So I'll just get out of the way and say, enjoy this conversation with Chris Byers. Well, this week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Chris Byers. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited about the conversation.
Yeah. So we've kind of, in passing, known each other a little bit here for a long time. I actually became familiar with your wife first in her online activity based in Indianapolis. But that's, definitely not where you guys have stayed. We'll get into that. You've been all over the place. But yeah. First and foremost, I've also known, it's been 3 years, 4 years now. Formstack was actually a previous sponsor of this show for a good chunk of time. It was like a nice little season or two here and there. And I would love it, since you're the CEO of Formstack, I would love for you to just give the, 1, 2, 3 sentence pitch of what is Formstack and give us some context.
Yeah, ultimately, what's pretty cool is, you're thinking about productivity kind of all day long. And when you're talking to people, and we're thinking about productivity also, Formstack's been around for about 14 years. And in the early days, we built a product that made it easy to build an online form. So think about something that today you'd discount because you're like, oh, I can do that in 1,000 different products. But in those days, it really was enabling people who, especially take marketers, somebody with lead capture, is like, I know what I need to do back in 2006, but I don't have the tools to do it. I've got to get an engineer or a developer to kind of do the work. And so it was a very, very early start in this kind of, we'll call it no-code journey, where a non-technical user can really solve their own problem. And so fast forward to today, we're a team of 250-plus who have kind of data collection and forms, but document generation. So imagine taking the data from that form or your CRM and auto-populating a quote or a contract, and then taking that all the way to e-signature. But all with this dream of how do we help kind of the person who understands how to solve the problem, like in their head, like they've got the framework, they've got the process, they just don't have the physical tools to do it or the coding skills. How do we enable them to get that done? And so it's been a fun journey. I've been here for about 10 years, or actually 11 years now. And so a great journey so far.
I have been following again since at one point, and prior to that, Formstack has been a sponsor on this show. I've followed also kind of your family's personal journey as well as the company's journey. So it's kind of intertwined in my own mind. We've got a number of things that we can talk about. One is just remote work in and of itself, because of the fact that a lot of the times, or often most of the time, although I don't know this for certain, Formstack didn't start off as a remote company, but has grown into it. In fact, grown into an example, I would think, of, as I've seen it, as a leader in that remote work space prior even to when everybody was forced to recently. Can you give me maybe a summary of, like, what's the history of remote work been, at least early days, and then maybe fast forward to now?
Absolutely. So, you know, this was back kind of 2012, and from, say, 2006 to 2012, we had lived in a small office park in kind of the north side of Indianapolis in a fully office-based environment. And in 2012, a series of things happened that kind of opened our eyes to, we didn't even probably think about remote. We started doing it, but we weren't really thinking about it until probably 2013. But in 2012, I would say, first of all, I always told people rhythms in your day are really important to pay attention to. If you're more creative in the morning, if you're more productive in the morning, if you're more productive at a coffee shop, like go work at Starbucks or go work wherever and get that productive energy out there, if that's kind of the rhythm that works for you, because I think you just get a lot more value out of it. And so I'd always had that attitude. But then in 2012, both my wife had an opportunity to take a job back in Oklahoma, which is where I'm from. And then, when she had that opportunity, I said, you know what, team of 20 people, I think I can do this. And what I think I can do this meant way back then was I can get on a plane every week and be in the office a couple days a week and then be back at home a couple days a week. And so that worked for a while, but man, a year into that, that's a rough road. And so at the same time, we had had, back in 2012, it was tough to find software engineers. I don't think we'd had the waves of people going to college yet and really expanding that volume. And so I was looking for engineers and, funny enough, ended up interviewing one in South Africa and one in Poland, and both from some stories I think you know of our past life living overseas. But so all of a sudden I was kind of transporting myself back and forth. I have this engineer who's now in Poland. So we're navigating time zone, remote, not just culture, but country culture differences. And then, little ways beyond that, we had a couple people who were great team members who said, hey, I want to move to Chicago, or hey, I want to move to San Francisco. And it was like, yeah, I'm sure we could support that. And eventually we realized at that time, it's an interesting thing's about to happen in the world where we've all gone remote, but what's going to happen is office pockets are going to come back likely over the next year. Well, the challenge you run into is you have the office people and the remote people, and they're in different, they all almost end up in different kind of silos, for lack of a better way to say it. And so after enough frustration of saying, how do we support all these remote team members? We finally said in 2013, all right, we're going to call ourselves a remote first company. We will have offices, but we will think about those offices more like co-working spaces. So you can come in and grab whatever desk you want, but we're a remote company first. That way, everybody has to learn how to use video technology. Everybody has to learn how to communicate using, those mediums like what are now Slack, et cetera. And so, yeah, that was the journey that started way, way back when. And I will say, you know, although the video technology was there, what we have today is exceptionally better. It works all the time, pretty much. And it was not that way back then.
Yeah, it sounds like then that you basically you went with the what's best for each individual team member, or not just what's best, but communicating clearly to them that, hey, you should, for all intents and purposes, be fully aware of how you can be most productive and when you're most productive and, you know, in terms of time, space, attention, all those kind of good things that we talk about on this show, that you should take some time, take some stock of what you do best and when you do it best and, you know, when you can do deep work or when you can do admin stuff and not only when, but where. And you lean into that and empower each individual employee to say, oh, well, if I'm not required to be at a certain place in time, now that's not saying there's no requirements to be, you know, in meetings with other people, but, right. you know, the flexibility is there, though, to say it's not about being a warm body at a desk waiting for the phone to call or for the phone to ring and answering emails. It's about what is your task and your role and getting that work done, not only the best way, but even how can you be most happy when you're doing that? And you took that and spread it as you planted that seed in the culture of the company.
Yeah. And, you know, this was not from day one, but there was a moment in time, a couple of years in, where I discovered the importance of understanding one's own mission in life. And you can overblow that if you want to and make it super spiritual. You can also say, oh, mission, that's for, like, some people have that, but I don't. Well, I actually think that all of us have some sense of there is something I do in the world, and it looks a little bit different than what other people do in the world. It's something I provide. It's something that gives me joy and contentment. And I kind of started there and really think about that today, where, yes, you're here to support the larger mission of our organization and what we're about. But if you don't know your own purpose, you're going to have a tough time doing your job, because you're always going to be like grasping for, oh, maybe if I get the promotion or if I get the raise or whatever, that's going to be better. I think the moment you start to discover the real value that you've kind of been, you know, built to provide, built to enjoy, I think that's where your real productive work starts, because you're not spending all your time wondering if something else is better. And the way I think about it is, you know, my discovery was that I love developing leaders into great leaders. And what that means is, if you fired me tomorrow from this job, I would, whether I have a CEO role or something else somewhere else, I'm still going to invest in people and say, hey, I want to understand who you are, what you're trying to accomplish. And I'm going to coach you, and even if it's informally, encourage you toward those greater goals. And so I do have that belief that ultimately your core, you know, kind of mission, purpose, et cetera, really helps that first level of productivity.
Yeah. And I think that you're leaning on something, or leaning into something, maybe is a better way to put it, that you're not just passively leading. It's not living by default or leading by default. It's living and leading by design, that by taking that extra, you know, you alluded to this earlier and I kind of mentioned it before, where, you know, it a lot of people don't or didn't, even up till the time COVID hit, which is why it was like a crash and burn situation for them. And then they had to pick up the pieces and rebuild, had to do with not knowing, you know, morning or evening, or having a space, a time, a certain type of work that's best at certain times of the day, how long you can pay attention to a screen versus having to take breaks, all those kinds of good things. By asking yourself those questions, by in other words, doing that homework, then remote work and flexibility and change are faster to be adapted to, for the most part. I mean, it's still difficult. I mean, we still are being challenged by, I'm going to say this word, I don't think I've said it yet on this show in the last year, unprecedented challenges in terms of that mental work towards that lifestyle and career productivity design. But it's that intentionality versus that passivity that I'm seeing and hearing from not only you, but your organization.
Well, I think you've hit on something great. Last year, for so many of us, was a, even if you had a sense of purpose going into last year, it forced you to just rethink a lot of things. And it tells you how much we just take for granted that the community around me and my work, that these things that just kind of happened and I didn't really work toward, all of a sudden I had to like rethink and what does that mean? And even for me, although we're a remote organization, I don't live near one of our offices. I did enjoy getting to the office maybe once a month, maybe every other month, and just spending time with people. And I've had to figure out, all right, what do I need to do to kind of readjust to that need for community? And I think you're right. I think people have not, it took a little bit of last year to even force people to think they might have to spend some time answering those questions. But most people are caught flat-footed because they just have lived life same old way and expected people to be around. And that filled enough of their buckets that it worked for a while. And all of a sudden when your buckets of kind of community and friendship and even just distractions and fun outside the house are empty, you're kind of faced with, all right, what's next?
Yeah. I have to think that your team as a whole was probably not better suited to, face the pandemic specifically, but to face their work shift, one by already being remote first to a point, but also having that culture in place. But I'm curious, what were some of the things that you ran into in terms of communicating the vision of the company ongoing from the point of the pandemic as well as moving forward?
Yeah, for us, we have historically said, 60%+ of, actually probably 70% of the organization is completely remote. I'd say 30 lives near an office. So yes, you're right. Everybody was very much used to how does a remote world work? I can operate that way. But what we do happen to do is twice a year, one time the entire company, and then on the other half of the year teams will get together physically. And that's a great time. That's something we depend on for passing vision along, even just reinforcing culture. And so we've really had to lean into how do we do that via kind of video essentially. But if you think about that, all of us know we don't want to be on video anymore. And so we've had to say, how do you even jump beyond the live Zoom call and even move toward pre-produced video that has a much higher quality and touch to it? Because although the video tax is there, we all still go watch Netflix at night. And so if you can create a more high-powered, high-quality experience, I think you can get those messages across. But I'd say the other thing we dealt with, just like everybody else, was kids at home. I mean, that was just, it didn't matter how good we were at remote. That was just a tax that nobody knew how to pay. And I'd say for that first 6 months, it was just we just kind of grabbed two pillars and hung on as best we could until we got closer to the end of the year. And then, by the time we got to this year, people had adjusted a decent amount to what that looked like. But yeah, it's a tough journey.
What did it look like for you to communicate to the employees, though, that, even though they were used to remote work, and may have felt completely comfortable in that skin, unlike a lot of other people, the other variable, though, is kids. And so if anybody out there is like me, again, already remote working, but then suddenly everybody's home with me all day as well, how do you communicate a sense of security and reinforcement of the culture during that challenge of kids and spouse at home, too?
Yeah, well, if we roll back to March, life was just changing so rapidly. And every day you'd open the news and wonder what, next tragedy, even if it was the same topic, just like what was coming. And so we realized a couple things. One is we needed to be very, very transparent about what was going on with the organization. And so we started, for instance, a weekly scorecard that we put out, and that scorecard had cash. Like we put, here's how much cash we have in the bank, and here's how revenue went last week, and kind of had a handful of things. Here's team size and things like that. But it was to begin to layer in, hey, we're watching the important things that maybe we watched, and we will you know, you'll get to see right along with us what happens, so that you're not just completely caught off guard if something doesn't go well. Because those first couple of weeks, we didn't know what was happening. We thought that, you know, business definitely took a big pause for that period of time. The other thing we did was we took every manager in the organization and said, we need to meet every single week. And we left Q&A time open for them to be able to ask questions on behalf of their team, and just made sure there was tight communication about how the organization was, and also to hear how all the people were doing. So the other step we took was we built kind of a form, built a form at Formstack.
Nice.
But it was a kind of a how are you doing, but it answered asked questions like, do you have kids at home now, or, you know, trying to understand people's situations. But we said to every manager, you must walk through this form with every single person on your team. We want 100% data on this so that we can make decisions and know what does need to change, if anything. And I'd say ultimately the core mode we just went into was, we never really defined a new reality of like, oh, we're going to work 4 days a week or whatever. We just said, man, we're flexible. We don't know what that means for you. Just keep your conversation going with your manager so they know what you're dealing with, and we're just going to keep working with you. That was not fun, but it worked to get, I think, people feeling like, all right, the business is okay. We're being paid attention to as individuals. We're being cared about, and turned out to at least get us through the year, and ultimately get us through the year fairly unscathed.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. With Indeed, you can ditch that busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, making their matching engine your go-to because it's constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. I used to be involved giving my input into the hiring process for a few key roles that were connected to mine. And man, do I wish we had Indeed back then, because we could have gotten much higher quality hires using Indeed. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job more visibility on Indeed.com at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. According to the CDC, 74% of the U.S. is overweight. That is a staggering number, and it means that the majority of adults, like myself, need to lose weight to improve our metabolic health. The good news is Prolon can help. Prolon is fasting with food. That's right, it's fasting, but it's with food. And it all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages are all designed to activate your body's fasting state, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged, ready to go. Every order of Prolon's 5-day program comes with 5 boxes labeled by day, so you know what to eat each day. Prolon is science-backed nutrition that helps support blood sugar levels and cardiovascular health, and change your relationship with food in just 5 days. I've had experience with fasting myself, both intermittent and otherwise, and Prolon makes it so much easier. It's not a diet, it's science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. Right now, Prolon is offering Beyond the To-Do List listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to ProlonLife.com/beyond. That's ProlonLife.com/beyond for this special offer. That's ProlonLife.com/beyond. What's something that works so well, it basically feels like magic? For me, I'm thinking air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, definitely. Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your own shop stage to the first real store stage, you don't have to just sell your own stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from brands you love and give your customers more variety and your business more sales. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify also helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beyond. Again, go to shopify.com/beyond now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beyond. I just love that you're, you know, again, you're being intentional, not just with the forethought, but with the actual communication and transparency with the company. I also work for a company that our CEO did something similar where they were giving this weekly debrief of here's where we are, here's what we're doing. You know, we know many of you are home with kids and we don't know, you know, and that's going to change for some and not all and be up and down and just communicate. We will be okay. And it's just, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. So I'm assuming that was very helpful, for your team as well. I am curious though, did you onboard or bring any new people in during this period? Because you may have had needs arise, in the company that you had to have new hires for.
Absolutely. You know, the business was still growing. And I believe, now I don't know how many of these people came on before March, but ultimately we brought 100 people onto the team last year. And a lot of those were early in the year before this hit, but I would venture that's still 50 plus that happened afterward. And some of that was, you know, people leaving and being replaced, but some of those were net new roles. And so it was interesting to have these weird moments of the world's kind of in chaos and, you know, we're dealing with the day-to-day of these challenges. But on the other hand, we get to provide jobs. And, you know, the experience for me last year was I've always kind of been like, you know what, we hire great people. They can get a job somewhere else. So if for some reason we can't hire them, or even if we had to let them go for some reason, they're going to find good jobs. Last year was the first moment in my, you know, 10, 11 years where I was like, oh, this is really important. This is meaningful, and providing employment is actually doing really good in the world. And so it was a good shift for me to see that. And but yeah, I'd say most people got to just participate in the same old onboarding and same old things that we do to try to bring people in. And I think found a place where we had created some sort of stability, and so that was a good thing.
How do you, communicate again when you get those new people coming in, you know, outside of the pandemic? Let's put that away for a while, but we can talk here about, you know, what does it look like for somebody coming in? How do you onboard them, get them, you know, acclimated to the culture and the remote workforce for your team?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because the challenge that I know many companies are going to face is they're all going to say, oh, this remote thing is actually pretty good. Let's embrace it going forward. Well, so now I have to roll way back to 2012. And some of the challenges we faced early on were, first of all, actually onboarding has got to be the most important thing that in a remote world needs to look very, very different. And so for us, you know this, you've shown up to an office before and it's first day and they're like, hey, look, there's your desk. We'll see you later. And while that's not the right onboarding experience for anybody, it works because there's somebody sitting next to you and you can ask them questions. And like it got, you know, it was kind of okay. You found somebody to go to lunch to the first, you know, with the first day, and it all kind of spun out from there. Well, in a remote world, if you give somebody that kind of, hey, welcome to the team, your computer just arrived today, and then you disappear, they don't have any idea what to do. They don't know who to reach out to. They don't know. There's just all these huge barriers. And so we built an onboarding process, which is essentially a long, long, long series of tasks. But it was, here are the systems we use. Jump into Slack. Go to reach out to this person and ask them about who is Walter. Walter for us is a donkey that we sponsor in the UK. I don't even remember why we sponsor the donkey, but it's this like cultural kind of icon that we've got. But we kind of force people to get into the culture by like, go ask this person about this event and time, just so they can kind of have a funny moment and begin to take in things. But it's, here's how the software works. Here's where you find information. And here is your agenda for the first 2 weeks. Here's who you're going to meet with. And your days should be fairly full. So that was for us a really good turning point, because people really just didn't know what to do those first couple of days. And that's your, this great, really 2 week period where we can set the stage for getting you kind of invested in the organization and understanding how it works. The other thing we discovered was just the power of written communication in a live environment. You often don't have a ton of it, especially depending on your team size, especially maybe you don't even do that much in terms of email. You can just, you know, stand and talk to somebody, and enough of that filters out to the people sitting around that you get a lot of osmosis of communication. And so we realized, though, the power of written communication means that, first of all, I can read it anytime. I can digest it as slow or as fast as I can, and I can go reference it again. And so if something's been well written, that means I know what's happening in the organization, or with a goal or with a project or something like that. And so we've invested heavily in things like Atlassian's Confluence, where we've just got endless pages about projects or HR or whatever it happens to be. We actually are, most people find we are an email heavy organization, but ultimately that's because of the remote world where, again, if I want to deliver a message, I know that if I write it, at least there's something that people have, again, to reference, and they can't say they didn't get it. They can kind of slide by if they listen to a video call and say, oh, I got distracted or whatever. If you've got that email, you can always go back to it. So those were some big lessons for us that have helped us kind of get, I think find some continued success, even being remote.
Earlier, you had mentioned the words mission and vision. And I also know that you guys have been doing something that recently in my organization we started doing last year, which is this acronym OKR. And I would love for you to maybe spell out a little bit more, since you guys have been doing OKRs for, I think, 5-6+ years now. One, if you could give a quick overview, because we've never mentioned the letters OKR on this podcast. If you could give a quick overview, what is an OKR? And then if we can dive a little deeper into your initial and then ongoing experience with that.
Yeah, that's a great and loaded question, really. Yes. if for anybody who's got any experience with OKRs. So I think the starting point is many of us got to experience the first knowledge of OKRs. There's actually a great video out there. It was, I think, talked about at Google. And so, of course, anytime something management wise is attached to Google, you're like, oh, that's the right thing. That's the only way. And so we started to explore OKRs, a number of years ago. So OKRs are simply objectives and key results. So if we think about goals, I think most of the time as we set goals, we think about what are effectively key results. We think about the very finite, I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to learn to fly an airplane. I want to get my pilot's license. Those are kind of the some of the key results. But what we don't often think about is the more holistic. Yeah, but what's the aspirational thing that we want to do? So let's take that flying example. I might say, I want to learn to fly, but why? Why does it matter? Who cares? Like, what is the importance there? It's like, oh, the objective kind of becomes something more aspirational. Like, I want to be able to take my family to amazing destinations on the weekends, or I want to be able to get in front of people in faster, in a faster time or something than I get to. So the objective is a better life experience effectively, or something along those lines. The key results are, oh, I've got to go take my ground course. I've got to go take my flying hours, et cetera. And those are the things that stack up to allow me to achieve that more visionary goal. But what I would say is Well, as you know, if you've ever told somebody, if you've ever given somebody what you think is really clear direction, and they bring you back a result and you're like, that is not what I asked for at all. This happens in OKRs a lot because it is a very fuzzy, it sounds almost perfect when you hear it the first time. It's like this great system that if I can set amazing objectives at the top of the organization, that's going to flow down to everybody and they're going to feel aligned and like they belong and it's going to be the greatest thing ever. Well, what turns out, though, is it's hard to teach people how to set effective goals, to set crisp, measurable goals with time attached to it. And so our experience has been all over the place. We actually built software to even solve the problem. And even when we did that, it still never made it a perfect system by any means. Because one person would like make it overly scientific and say, oh, we've got to have these perfect key results that are all measurable. And that just never paired up with really getting everybody thinking about OKRs in the same way. And so I'd say after years of trying it, we've backed off a little bit and said, let's not be as scientific about it. Let's make this a little bit more digestible. Let's keep objectives. That's really important. Where are we going? What are the big visionary things that we want to do? But let's not try to let goals effectively waterfall through the entire organization. Let's just make sure the first layer of effectively key results are clear to the organization. So this year, for instance, we have an objective around giving back and giving back to kind of the world. And so we've said the key results around that are we want to be able to give our product away to some nonprofits. We want we want to be able to give away 1%+ of our time in terms of volunteering. We want to plant trees and have a specific goal around that for the environment and have a track around social justice. Well, that's kind of where we're going to leave it for now. We feel like although a lot of people are going to do some work toward those goals and those KRs, we want to make sure it feels a little bit lighter and just make sure the organization knows what we're trying to do. At the moment, I mean, if you've got somebody full-time who can work through it, I think you can get it done. But it's just hard work to start at the top and try to weave that all the way through the organization.
I'm curious, what has maybe been the biggest learning curve when it comes to the OKR process? Because, you know, it in my experience, there is that initial kind of aha moment that you were describing where suddenly right up front at first you think, oh, I get it. It's, you know, it's not just about like, if I can give a practical example that, you know, maybe I've used here on the show before, we always think of setting our goals as key results. Like you said, we set those, that's about the highest we go. And, you know, I'll say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, but we don't have any kind of true motivation for that, or even the mechanics of the how-to of it spelled out as much, because we haven't gone up one level and said, well, what's the why behind that? What's the real objective there? And, you know, so for example, I could fill that objective in and say, to be healthy enough to, I don't know, to go, I'm trying to fill in something aspirational. Let me fill in something like to go on a hike of the Appalachian Trail with my family. Let's do that. That is, you know, something that I definitely couldn't do very easily right now, but you know what? I probably could slot that in at some point. And so then suddenly, if you're thinking of that high level objective trickling down into the key result, but again, this is a learning. That's not the only learning curve, because again, right up front, that seems like I just simplified it a whole lot. But then there's other nooks and crannies where people get lost or drop off or, again, get confused. And so I'm curious what that learning curve has been like for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey. And I would say our kind of leadership team has both frustration and ultimately gets there nearly every quarter, where I think for us, what we've learned is, first of all, start early. If you start too late, because you need time to kind of discuss those objectives, like what do we want to accomplish? What are the big ideas? And I would say if you can separate those, it's really good. So, you know, kind of be black and white about saying, let's not get to the detailed goals. At least for me, I have problem with that. I just want to, like, I'll jump to the goal real fast, or I'll jump to the solution. Let's talk about the big ideas. What do we want to convey to the people around us about where we're going? And what are those big words and aspirational words and phrases that we want to use so that they see, oh, yes, that's the beautiful future that we're going for. Then once we get a handful of those, then we can work into the goals. But if you don't start that process, what we've learned is you need to start that process probably, you know, if there's a 3-month quarter, you probably want to start it in month at the very beginning of month 2 for the next quarter, so that by the end of month 2, you can start to communicate it to, you know, more people in the organization and let them set goals, so that then by the time you get to that beginning of the next quarter, everybody's kind of got a sense of what we're doing and goal setting. So I'd say time is probably the most pressing thing, and the consistency you need to build to actually have those conversations 2 months ahead of the quarter is tough. Most of us are like, yeah, but I'm in the middle of a quarter. I don't want to think about the future yet. I'm just struggling to meet the goals that I've got out there right now. And so I'd say that's probably the most important thing that we've at least learned how to do a little bit better.
What about incorporating, I know you just were talking about doing these quarterly, how do you see overarching maybe an annual version of it that's on a macro level for the year?
So that's another thing that, it's a great point. It's another thing that we've done that has made our lives a little bit easier, is if we will at least set objectives and maybe sometimes even key results that are annual, it takes a ton of stress off of having to go through this process all of the time. And so I'd say for this year, we've got very clear objectives that are, it's for the year. So at least the objective itself. Now then, key results, right now we let both weave in. Some are just quarterly because that's about as far as maybe a particular department can think, because they need to like learn from that before they set the next one. Or some of them are a little bit more clear and it's like, yeah, this is a multi-step process that's going to take all year. So that gets a little bit messy, but we've allowed both to kind of live, both the quarterly and the annual. But I think it's a great point. If you can think annual, you will relieve some pressure in that system.
How long have you been doing this? What, since
2010. Yeah.
2010. Yeah.
Oh, well, so OKRs itself. OKRs probably more like, but still 2013, I think. So it's been a while.
Yeah. So obviously you've continued doing it even when it's been hard and pushed through and found it rewarding and a positive experience enough that, because I want to give that to other people that are out there, like, you know, like my coworkers, that, you know, we've done it for not even a year yet. And there's been some growing pains with it in terms of perfecting the process and the deciding and the discussion and the scope and all of that. But maybe there's other people out there like us who are in the early stages that can glean from your team that it's well worth doing, you know, that there's a positive experience, as tough as it's been probably at you know, certain hurdles. You kept going.
So there's a great experience I had where last year we actually invested in some new software. The product is called Ally. And we had gone through the whole OKR process. And, you know, we've got a 200-plus person organization. And I was like, I want to see what goals are kind of living throughout the organization. And so I found some way to export all of them. And I had the tiniest print on about like 8 sheets of paper. And I just read through every single goal in the organization. I think it was 800. And I didn't digest them all, of course. But what was just amazing was like, we've got people working on really, really good stuff that it truly is helping us move the organization forward. So even in when those, you know, if you are listening and you're having one of those moments where like, yeah, this process is hard, because it is, the result of it and the way that people can really understand how their work does contribute to the overall goal, it can be pretty amazing. And I was just like super energized after I read that list and was so glad I spent the time doing it, because it proved that something was working, even though you don't always feel it, because it's hard to feel that people are understanding it and setting the right goals and are really kind of using it well.
I love that you were able to do that, you know, to be able to, it's almost like business journaling in a sense on a macro level.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the challenge. The more you grow, you have no idea what's going on in a company. And even if you're only 10 people, you still have no idea what's going on in the lives of all 10 people. But where that can kind of get expressed and, well, at least them communicating what their goals are, like, yeah, okay, I at least know that they're thinking about the right things.
I would love to, one, start to, as we wrap up here, point people to where they can learn more about what Formstack's doing, but also you guys are doing a great podcast over on your site called The Ripple Effect, and it looks like it appears that it's bi-weekly. At first I was like, wait a second, you're skipping weeks, but then I was like, oh wait, no, it's there. There's a lot of different topics on this regard. I'd love for you to share, you know, where can people find out more about Formstack, where can they grab the podcast, and dive in deeper into this discussion and also the productivity tool that is Formstack.
Absolutely. And I'll use my best, since I host a podcast, I'll do my best podcast, you know, go visit formstack.com/ripple effect. And that's where you're going to find, the podcast and the episodes that we've got out there. You know, for us, we love this idea, and funny enough, it goes all the way back to our remote journey. We love this idea of reimagining your world of work. We are in a moment in time where, and this is even more important today, where we need to not say, oh, well, this is how it was done. This is how, you know, office culture used to be. This is how everything used to work. We're in a moment where we can reinvent what we do and how we do it and when we do it. And so let's capitalize on that moment. And so we're trying to have conversations with people really across the board about how they think about the future of work and reimagining that world. So we've got guests from, you know, the head of product at Smartsheet, who's thinking about how can literally software help people, grow and improve their work lives, someone who teaches people how to use no code software so that maybe they don't have a degree, but they can jump into a business and solve important business problems, or someone who works kind of day to day in a university and just helps describe how do they think about their world and even respond to last year and how do we convert our operations to digital and online. So, you know, for us, we're just having a fun time learning a lot. I'd say I've learned a lot more in doing this podcast than provides me more value maybe than it provides other people. I love learning from just all kinds of people. And then for Formstack, we are just continuing on this journey of helping people, you know, solve important business problems, but do it in an efficient way, do it to save time, save money, because ultimately productivity and the improvement of productivity is how a business gets better and how a business grows faster, uses the same dollars and gets better results. And so where we can come in and help people really just reimagine those processes and make them automated, faster, et cetera, we're excited about that. So we're building a really cool workflow tool that helps you connect multiple products together and create ultimately workflows and process automation that can streamline whatever's going on in your department, HR, if you want to do onboarding better, or job reviews, in marketing, it's both capturing those leads and getting the right sales reps. However we can do that, we want to be a part of people's journey of productivity.
That's exciting to listen to and hear from you, because again, I've been impressed by the tool for a while now. And so I encourage everybody to go check that out and the podcast. I'll link up to those in the show notes. And Chris, it's been awesome talking with you. I can't wait to catch up again sometime in the near future with you and see what you're pushing forward in terms of productivity and Formstack.
Thanks so much, Eric. Keep this podcast going. I know you're helping people do some really great things and learn how to just run their worlds better.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and conversation with Chris Byers from Formstack. And if you're not familiar with Formstack, you really should check out what they're doing over there. I'll link them up in the show notes. I hope that you took some notes here and thought about not only where you are remote work-wise, but where you want to be remote work wise, to make it work, to make remote work work for you. But not only that, that you thought about this intro to the topic of objectives and key results, OKRs, and wrestle with that a little bit as well. I know that I have the last 3 to 4 quarters now in my day job. It's definitely something that's motivating and can be demotivating, but is definitely something to grow with, as we heard Chris talk about. If you enjoyed this conversation, I'd love for you to do me the favor of sharing it with somebody you know needs to listen to this. You can do that by hitting the share button in your podcast player app of choice where you're listening to this now, or head on over to the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com. Thank you again for sharing. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next episode.